Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Beautiful stuff. 11 minutes after the hour, 5 o'clock. Tabiso Anjokwana, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, President. How are you?
Sharp man, how are you doing?
I'm very fine, very fine. I almost said long time. I remember I just saw you a week ago.
Yeah, man. I hope it's been good.
Yes, of course, it's been good. Little by little, we take it one day at a time. But I'm happy to be here. And I must also pass my greetings to the listeners at home.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, Tabiso, we're going to be talking about pro bono. And with South Africa's current economic status, more and more people find themselves struggling to make the ends meet. And so, affording legal fees actually is just out of the questions. And so today we want to talk about pro bono and how it seeks to address those who need and cannot afford legal representation. Now, first things first, let's understand what pro bono is. Please do come through with that for us.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you're correct. It is a very important subject to talk about, particularly under current climate conditions. But maybe the first point or the first place from which to start is the concern or rather the principle that is involved behind what we'll call pro bono. Allow me to start there. In Section 34, our Constitution makes a promise of access to courts, basically a principle of accessibility of courts. You know, geographically, we find out that courts are placed closer to people so that people don't find it so hard to get to them. Mm-hmm. Part of the justice system where that has not yet been realized in certain areas of South Africa, that's true. But not only geographically, but also, as you're correctly saying, in the process, in terms of representation. The Constitution here says everyone has a right to, if I paraphrase, a fair public hearing before a court. You know, in other words, one has a right of standing before a court and particularly representation before court. The truth of the matter, Brazette, is that you remember Animal Farm.
Yeah.
All animals are equal.
But not so equal after some, all.
But some are more equal than others. That's the point. So the socio-economic disparities that we are well aware of do dictate that some of us are not able to afford a lawyer.
True.
Therefore, then their complaints can't be heard, and if they can't be heard, then no justice would then be dispensed to them. So if that kind of situation would be left unattended, then truly then ours would be that of survival of the moneyed. And it would be a dismal failure of our justice system. And the promises of Section 34 of the Constitution would only be a lip service. So the matter is, we can't allow that. Now, of course, our legal system places measures in place to mitigate this risk. Of course, there are things like legal aid, of course, not subject for today. Small claims, courts, not a subject for today. Contingency fee agreements, not a subject for today. But pro bono service also is one of those things which is basically a subject for today. So your question then is, what is pro bono? If we're saying it completely, basically, this is a Latin phrase that says pro bono publico, meaning for public good. So generally, when we're speaking of pro bono service, we're speaking of professional services rendered for free or at low cost. But originally, I would have said for public good. Okay. Maybe that would be the place from which it started. Then it can grow and grow and not so public, but to those perhaps of us who are marginalized or indigent and so forth. So basically, this service is usually received by non-profit organizations, your churches, your minority groups, vulnerable people, your foundations, you know, that are doing kind of good work among us. In essence, pro bono is important service or as a measure that's available to help us realize the constitutional promise of accessibility to court.
Now, hello, Tabis.
Yes, sir, I'm still there. I'm saying in a nutshell, that's what it is.
Ah, fantastic. Now, we're talking about the marginalized, indigent, et cetera, et cetera. Is that the main qualification and anything else?
That would be the main qualification. Look, there are various institutions that facilitate this kind of service, you know, and you'll find out that they've got their own criteria. For instance, they would have a means test.
Okay.
Sometimes they would also, over and above the means test, an area of focus. For instance, if you're talking Law Society of South Africa, sorry, if you're talking Legal Practice Council of South Africa, it would require that a person at least earns to the maximum of 8,200 per month or 9,000 rands for a household per month for them to qualify. You find out that there's an organization. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the names of organizations on radio.
Are they doing a free service?
They are doing free services.
That's okay. Go ahead.
So thanks. No, organizations, for instance, like South African Society for Labor Law, those ones would focus not only on the means test, but also on a particular focus of law.
Yeah.
Certain organizations would do this for certain areas of law, like environmental law. You remember just now we had an issue in the Eastern Cape where they wanted to do that seismic exploration at the sea. And one of that was not enough consultation. Certain people would call to work, do work. I'm not saying that one was pro bono, but I'm saying that kind of work. You find out that there are all the complaints around pollution and health for people who are staying somewhere around the mines and so forth, and the deposits of gold and this, which affect their lungs and so forth. So we find out that certain organizations like that would have a database of lawyers who are willing to give that kind of service. So how they qualify you to be a recipient of that service, usually would have a means test and that area of law which they are focused on.
Now, if a person is with no regular income, but owing, for instance, to a property of high value, qualify for pro bono services. So, but this is a person who's unemployed, perhaps at a current moment, but find themselves with a really beautiful double story house and maybe some good assets. But frankly, they don't have an income. Would that kind of a person qualify?
Look, it's difficult to say yes or no, but chances are no.
Oh,
man. As I've said, look, maybe let's say this. Our system has its own gaps.
Okay.
Number two, the very phenomenon of a pro bono service is a voluntary thing. I mean, no one is forced to offer pro bono services.
So I think that's quite critical, actually.
We're relying then on people availing themselves, you know, to help. So, number one, there's no one's being coerced. There might be ways in which to encourage people to do this kind of service. For instance, I think it's, I'm speaking under correction, but I think there was a publication last year by Legal Practice Council to which all of us lawyers belong, that in order to keep a good standing, one would have to have offered a certain number of hours pro bono in a year. You know, it may include, basically they would call it community service. So it may include teaching in a university, but also it may include pro bono.
I see.
So to come to you, I think the critical answer here is that of means test, whether or not in a particular organization that facilitates this kind of service would actually qualify or put a person in the criteria as those that are deserving of this service. It really depends on the way in which they've chosen. I also know an organization called probono.org. Part of things they of people they consider is individuals, it's groups, but also they consider SMMEs. But even among SMMEs, you know, they will qualify them. Basically, again, what dictates is the means test and what are the principles or the procedures employed by that one institution to select people who would be recipients of the pro bono service. Really is left unto those organizations. I think there's so much that can be done.
So if one is really in need of a lawyer and they want to use services of a pro bono attorney, where do they start looking?
Look, number one, certain lawyers are probably known for that in areas where they practice. I know, for instance, a friend of mine just had a certain story about students in some institution somewhere in the Eastern Cape. And then these kids were having a problem not having their results and so forth. You know, there was it was not necessarily a service organized by a particular organization. Someone just read thing on the news and then they organized themselves and that voila, then they offered the service. So there could be those people who simply move out of their own sympathy and do it themselves. But what one would consult with the law clinics.
Law clinics, you say?
Law clinics. I know. For instance, I think VETS has one. I think Forte has one. I think there is one also in Grahamstown. I come from the Eastern Cape, so I'll know more about the Eastern Cape.
That's fine.
Yeah. So of course, as I'm saying, if you go to LPC, there is a form which you fill in and then they will qualify you. And I'd imagine the same thing with the Law Society of South Africa, and I'd imagine the same with the ProBono.org or the South African Society for Labor Law, you know, over and above the law clinic. So those are the organizations I know. There might be more, and I think there possibly are more than those ones, but at least Legal Practice Council would be your first place to go to, or a nearby law clinic would be a good place to go to when looking for that kind of help.
Wow. All right, Thabiso Njogwana, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I think that this was a fantastic one. I do hope that those who are looking for services, he mentioned quite a number of institutions, please do look them out. And if you're in trouble, do make sure that you get in contact with those people and make sure that you go there on board. Thank you so much, Thabiso, for joining us.
Thank you very much, Buzet. I appreciate it.
Sharp, sharp.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.